Hey everyone, Lena here, Tuesday as usual, checking in with you on our weekly podcast. This is a ministry of living with power, and I love checking in on Tuesdays because it gives us a chance to kind of take time out from our life and schedule and listen in to what God has for us this week. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. I love talking about God and His Word. I love Jesus, the Son of God, and getting into His Word gives us a chance to really get to know Him better. So this is the point of these podcasts, is really to take our minds off of us and fix them on the Lord, which really will be exactly in line with what I have for you today. But let me remind you that the series that we're going through right now is called 10 Areas I Need Help With This Year. Started it back at the beginning of 2015. It's a 10-week series, and we're about halfway through. I hope you're finding the topics helpful. I try to think about the most common things that I, Lena, needs help with as a general rule. And so I hope I'm a kind of a basic, you know, sample of the population. And I hope that you're finding that the topics that I struggle with are topics that you struggle with too. And so today's topic is called, I Need Help to Overcome Worry. And I just kind of laugh because about, I don't know, six or eight weeks ago, I did a podcast from Philippians chapter 4, if you remember, talking about worry, and I actually titled it something about how to overcome worry. And when I recorded today's podcast, what you're listening to now, it came out like the week after that podcast. I recorded it the week that podcast back in December came out, and I kind of got stressed for a minute. I thought, oh man, I just did a thing on worry, and I'm recording this podcast on worry, and do you ever find yourself worried about worry? I mean, it's just like, I just felt like, do they want to hear again about worry? And the more I thought about it, the more worried I was becoming. And then I kind of took a step back and thought, oh my Lord, we really need to do this topic again, because I find myself so quick to worry. Are you like that? Like, you tell yourself, I'm never going to do it again. I got it. I'm going to, you know, I know God doesn't want it. And I'm committed to living a worry-free life. And as soon as the sun rises and I step out of bed, I can find you 10 reasons that I worry. And it's like an epidemic has taken hold of our country, our culture, our nation, our world, and certainly my heart. And I don't want to live that way anymore. And if God says to us, whether it's in Philippians or all throughout Scripture, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, then man, I want a part of that. I want a part of that kingdom-minded living. And so, again, always trying to be practical, biblical, and to the point. Let me get to it. Four questions that we've tried to cover every week as it pertains to the topic at hand. The first question that I have about today's topic is, why do I worry? That's a great question. I mean, I need help to overcome worry. So the first logical question is, why do I worry? Let me give you some context from the Bible. And what I thought we'd do today is, we've been doing this topical study, so I've given you verses from throughout Scripture and tried to pinpoint stories and use them as a kind of launching point for the discussion. Today's story is from Matthew 14, Peter walking on water, or actually Jesus walking on water and Peter trying to walk on water, but it's a great story about worry. I'm going to read you a few verses. If you're not familiar with the story, it starts like this in verse 22. Immediately he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Man, that's an interesting place to be. Some of you understand that even now. You feel like you're beaten by the waves and the wind is against you and you're rowing. And so it says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Wouldn't it be awesome if in your circumstances right now you saw Jesus coming to you on the sea? And perhaps he is. Let's keep reading. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. And when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Isn't it interesting that the wind ceased not when they were still walking on water, but that it ceased after they had got back in the boat? And I think just so much truth in these verses. And it says in verse 33, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. I just love the story. I could teach on this for weeks probably, but I'm going to try to keep it today to just a few minutes. Why do I worry? Very simply, just picture, you know, keep this image of Peter, Jesus on the water. And so just going to give you some very, very simple points. I worry when my eyes are on my circumstances and not on Jesus. So my eyes are off of Jesus and onto my circumstances. That is the bottom line. I mean, you're running through life, you're rushing through life, and instead of focusing on the truth of who God is, your eyes are looking at the Goliath in your life. Your eyes are looking at the armies surrounding you. Remember the story of Elisha back in the Old Testament, and the servant came to Elisha and said, look at the Syrian army surrounding us. And what did Elisha say to him? He prayed and said, open his eyes that he may see. And then, of course, he saw the army of the living God fighting for them and surrounding the army of the Syrian. And the same thing in our life, when my eyes are taken off of Christ and his word and the truth of who he is and are fixed on my circumstances, that is when I worry. So today, it might be a financial situation in your life, and all you can think about is your bank account and when you're going to get paid next and where your lack is, and you don't see a solution, or maybe a relationship problem. Maybe you're waiting for some breakthrough and you can't see it happening because you're looking at, maybe you're part of an eHarmony type, you know, dating situation, and you can't, you're like, man, there is not a perfect guy or girl for me out there. And listen, if your eyes are on your circumstances and off of your Lord, like Peter, you're going to feel the weight of the storms and the raging of the wind against your life. And so not just your eyes, but your mind is on me and my efforts in the storm. So why do I worry? Because my mind is not settling on the truth, but it is focused on my inability in the middle of the storm. The truth is that we can't battle the storm. And so when we're focused on, well, what can I do in this situation, you're correct. There's nothing you can do. What could Peter do in the middle of the storm walking on the water towards Jesus? Not much. Think about it. Left to his own human abilities, I mean, I don't know how to say this, but he was done. I do know how to say it, but I thought probably I shouldn't use that term on a podcast. So why do I worry? I like to think in categories, so let me give you kind of four big categories. I worry because of unexpected storms that come out of nowhere. Unexpected storms. Or how about this? Unforeseen difficulties. You make a plan. You want to serve God. You sign up to teach a children's Sunday school class. And, oh man, next thing you know, your schedule is overfull. This happens to me in ministry a lot. I have a great aspiration to do things for God. And before I know it, I'm swamped and overwhelmed with work. And I worry because my eyes are off of the Lord. I'm trying to think, well, how can I do this in my own time with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And listen, I can't. And I'm coming to terms with that unless the Lord shows up in my life, I'm going to sink. Why do I worry? Unexpected storms, unforeseen difficulties, unanticipated delays. Remember Peter and the disciples were in the boat, and I started reading and told you how it took Jesus, it was in the fourth watch of the night that he showed up. This is like 3 a.m. in the morning. 3 a.m., that's morning, I'm redundant. But it wasn't like... It wasn't like, oh, an hour into the storm, oh, yeah, we're doing okay, we still got a little bit of a, you know, an ability to keep rowing. No, no, no. It was like they were done. They were at the end. And that is an unanticipated delay, and it is in that window when you think God should show up and he hasn't shown up yet, that is when worry happens. Because, you see, if I have a problem, the problem isn't so much the problem. It's that there's no solution in the time that you think you need a solution in. So the longer that waiting happens, the more you start to panic as your eyes are fixed on your circumstances. Does that sound familiar? And yet, haven't we learned, if you've been walking through these podcasts week by week, haven't we learned this theme that God's way is in the waiting? There is nothing that comes immediately, and that faith is expanded and your heart is enlarged in the waiting. That is why God has us wait. It's not because he enjoys to see us suffer. It's because he knows that your faith grows in the waiting. And so I like this thought. Difficult circumstances are either faith growers or doubt feeders. Faith growers or doubt feeders, what is it going to be for you today? And I find that in my life, too often, when I'm fixed on, my eyes are fixed on my own circumstances, and I'm looking at my own abilities or inadequacies, they become doubt feeders. And what God wants to do is to take these difficult circumstances, and we'll talk in a minute about James chapter 1, those very trials that are in our life are meant to grow our faith. Actually, here's a good passage for us too, Romans chapter 5. Where Paul says to the church in Rome, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Why do I worry? Unexpected storms, unforeseen difficulties, unanticipated delays, and unmet expectations. You thought God would, and instead He fill in the blanks. You know that feeling. Okay, second question. What happens when I worry? What happens when I worry? Let's go back to our story of the disciples in the boat. And the truth is that when I worry, I typically start to sink. You're like, well, it's not the worry that's making me sink. It's the storm. I get it. Wait a minute. We're going to walk through this. I want to give you four things that we tend to do when we worry. I think that very practically speaking, you're in the boat, there's a storm. First of all, you try to row harder. Okay? So you start rowing harder and rowing harder and rowing harder and rowing harder until you have no more energy to row. And so this is what I find in my life I do is I try to fix the problem. So I see a financial need in my life. And I figure, well, I can work more. So I try to moonlight and I try to pick up extra shifts. But next thing I know, what happens? What's the result of that? It is simply this, the exhausted Christian life. See, you have a situation in your life. Say you have a marriage problem and you look at the situation that's causing you stress and you try to fix it. You think, well, if I lose weight, if I work on my appearance, if I'm sexier to my husband, if I, you name it. You think, man, if I just can do things better, if I cook a better meal. And so you try and you work and you do it in your own strength. And next thing you know, you're worn out and exhausted. Some of you listening understand that feeling. And so what happens when I worry? If you try to row harder, you're only going to get exhausted. And so the disciples, they had no hope against rowing. In fact, they had tried that scenario in verses 22 through 27. They tried rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. And by the time that Jesus showed up, they were exhausted. And this is what I find in my Christian life, that when I try to do it in my own strength, before the end, I'm just worn out and disgusted and disillusioned and disappointed, and I don't want anything to do with Christianity and anything to do with Christ. And I'm telling you, that is not the life that God has for us. So what happens when I worry? I try to row harder, or listen to this, I stop rowing. So the end result of rowing harder is you get disillusioned and you say, you know what, forget it. I'm not even going to row. The storm is going to get me. Let it get me. And so you file for foreclosure. You file for divorce. You bail. You're like, guys, I can't do this. Lord, I tried it your way and I'm done. And you resigned. Christian life is where you end up. And you're just, you're done. You don't go to church anymore. You don't read your Bible anymore. Why? Because I've tried it. And you don't pray anymore because what good is it? He didn't show up. And you fell short of waiting for the end. And I'm telling you, there's good news when you get there, because Christ never leads you in that place of the resigned Christian life. If you're His follower, I'm telling you, even He's using this podcast to draw your heart back to Him. Or what we do is, here's another, what happens when I worry? I row harder, I stop rowing, or I jump out on my own. I jump out on my own. And so you see the waves. Here's Peter. He sees Jesus coming. You're like, man, this is awesome. And instead of just waiting for Christ to bid you to come, you say, man, I can do this. And what I call this is the dangerous Christian life. And there are many young, especially 20-somethings, 30-somethings who do this, who feel like, man, I want to, the harvest is ripe, you know, the fields is plentiful. I'm going to go win the world for Jesus. And you don't wait for any kind of spiritual direction. You don't wait for the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. You just jump in. And you go to the mission field and you sell everything you have. And good for you. I mean, if the Lord has asked you to do it. But how many of us are living a life that is exhausting and disillusioning, and man, we end up in the same scenario. We're in the water sinking because we try to live the dangerous Christian life in our own effort. Or the fourth scenario, what happens when I worry? The only way to live is to step out in faith when Christ bids you to come. And that is the faith-filled Christian life. You're doing things that you never thought you would do. You're overcoming the circumstances that are sure to cause you dismay. And you're doing it because Christ is there and He's near and He's calling you to come. And it may have taken four watches in the night to finally see Him. And in it, in those moments, even when He shows up, you have this heart of worry and fear. And Jesus is saying to you, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid, O you of little faith. Why did you doubt? And over and over and over again in Scripture, Christ meets His disciples in points of fear. He meets them in points of worry. And He teaches them the same lesson over and over again. And what I love about Christ is that He doesn't give up on them because their faith is weak. On the contrary, He's like, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to work through this. I love you. And this isn't about you meeting my expectations of walking on water. That wasn't the issue. It wasn't even, I mean, Christ didn't even come to specifically make Peter walk on water. And yet, what an encounter that left the disciples going, truly, you are the Son of God. And what happens when I worry? I think we covered that pretty good. And so let's move on to the third question here. How can I stop worrying? I mean, don't you want a part of that? I know I want to stop worrying. And we've hit on some thoughts here already. Some of you may have already gleaned some insight. I'm going to give you just three thoughts about Jesus. And I want to take you back to the passage in Matthew 14. And I want to, if you have a Bible and you're looking, most of you are probably listening in the car or walking or on the treadmill, but I want to give you some context. In my Bible, the story of Jesus walking on water happens immediately after the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is incredible. Picture this. You're on a mountain with 5,000 men, who knows how many women and children. So maybe 15,000 people estimating, I don't know. And there's no food, and the people are hungry, and the disciples are tired, and Jesus pulls a huge stunt, and he says to the disciples, feed them. And the disciples are like, are you crazy? There's no food. Let's get out of here. Let's tell them to go home. I'm completely paraphrasing. This is like not even the Message Bible. This is the Lena version of the story. But in essence, Jesus says, get me what you have. And they find two fish and a couple of pieces of bread, and he feeds all of these people with that. I mean, picture that. That's awesome. You cannot argue that that is an awesome, awesome story. And so you go from that, literally, verse 20 and 21, it says, they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. You go from that verse to immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And now we hit the story of Jesus walking on the water. And I want to remind you, how can I stop worrying? Three thoughts about Jesus. The same Jesus who fed the 5,000 is the Jesus who sends you into the storm. This is an idea that we bristle against because you're like, how could God do this to me? How could he send me into the storm? This hurts. This is dangerous. I'm afraid. Why wouldn't he protect me from it? The same Jesus who fed the 5,000 is the Jesus who sent you into your storm. That storm that you're facing today is ordained by God. It is allowed by God. It is planned by God. I don't know how you want to look at it. I'm sorry if this offends you. It is the truth. There is nothing outside of the control of God. You say, why? I read you the Romans passage. James is another passage. Count it all joy, my brothers, in chapter 1 of James. He says, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This is crazy. God's ways in the storm. But yet, listen, this is not hopeless. That not just, I told you three things about Jesus. Here's another one. The same Jesus who sent you out to the storm is the one who will help you get through it. His goal for you is not to sink in the storm. His goal for you is to make it through it and to come out of it like the disciples did with this terrible understanding of the fact that this isn't just another man. We are serving a living God. This is truly the Son of God. There's another incident where the disciples were in a boat and there was a storm and Jesus was sleeping. And when they woke up, Jesus filled the storm with one word. And you know the response of the disciples. They were in awe. And they said, who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So much truth, so much truth in that. Your storm is meant to open your eyes and teach you and show you and draw you to the essence of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is awesomeness. The same Jesus who fed the 5,000 is the one who's going to get you through the storm that he sent you in. He sent them into the boat, into the storm. And yet he didn't leave them alone. You may be in the fourth watch of the night. You may be wondering where Jesus is. Listen to me. He's coming. He's coming. Just be patient. Persevere. Here's the third thought about Jesus. The same Jesus who calls you out of the boat is the one who will keep you walking on water. Did you see it? So we've already, there's a storm. They're almost on the verge of giving up. Jesus shows up. Peter asks him to come. He steps out of the water. And a lot of us, we get to this point and we're like, okay, things, it's great. Now Jesus is here. There's going to be the answer. But in a minute, I'm going to go to the fourth question and tease that out, what happens when he steps out of the boat. But enough to say that that same Jesus who fed the 5,000, who sent you into the storm, who shows up at the fourth watch, who's getting ready to break your mind, blow your mind to bits with his awesomeness. He's the one who's going to keep you walking on the water. Because if you know anything about walking on water, it's this. It does not get easier with time. And so I want to give you the fourth concluding question today in our study. What about worry? What can I expect when I take action against worry? What can I expect? You're in the boat. You're worried. You're overwhelmed. You see Jesus. You say, okay, I'm going to put my trust in him. You're not sure if he's there or not. But you, in faith, you cry out to him. If it's you, bid me come out. Come. He gets out of the water. What can I expect when I take action against worry? Here's some thoughts. First step is the hardest. Can you picture it? Peter looking at the waves and the storm. If you've never been to the Sea of Galilee, it's easy to think of it as like a little pond, you know, man-made pond in your neighborhood. It's not. It is like a real storm. And so the first step is the hardest, saying, God, I'm trusting that you are the one who is the Son of God, that you have control over the situation. And so take that first step of action. Whatever your first step is, take it. That is the hardest step. You pray about it. And if you even now, God, the Spirit of God may be compelling you to understand in your circumstance of worry, the Lord wants me to fill in the blank. Maybe he wants you to give faithfully, to tithe to him, even though you don't see where the finances are coming from. You take that step of action. Maybe for you, it's a decision for purity. You've been worried about whether the guy you're dating or the girl you're dating likes you, and you feel pressured that they want you to do something that you don't think God wants you to do. Take a step of action. End the relationship if it's not healthy for you. Take that first step of action in the storm. And understand this, the way out is lonely. Only Peter got out of the boat. Nobody else did. Say, why? Well, Peter was impetuous. It was his personality. No. The way out of the boat is always lonely. It's always lonely. Don't expect the crowds to come with you walking towards Jesus in the middle of a storm on water of all things. And then this thought, what can I expect when I take action against worry? Just some expectations. The first step is hardest. The way out is lonely. The odds of sinking do not lessen with time. Peter, things didn't get easier as he walked out of the boat. I think this is such an important truth for you. Some of you maybe have been walking in faith for some time now. And you think, I don't understand why it's not getting any easier. Not only is it not going to get any easier, I think it sometimes gets more challenging. See, the odds of sinking do not lessen with time. Sinking and walking on water has to do with you fixing your eyes on Jesus. But the beauty of the story, the amazing nature of the story, is that the minute Peter cried out to Jesus, Jesus immediately reached out his hand. Jesus didn't say like, oh, Peter, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to get your act right. Your faith is so weak, I'm going to let you sink. No. Jesus is a God of mercy. And he reaches out, and he's always there, one hand breath away, waiting for you to cry out to him. And I love this idea. Safety does not, another expectation that you can have in the storm, safety does not depend on the storm stopping, but on the very presence of Jesus. Peter felt safe the minute Jesus put his hand out and reached out to him, and they got in the boat, and then the wind ceased. The safety didn't depend on the storm stopping. That is not, Peter's safety didn't come when finally the waves stilled. No. It happened when Jesus reached out and grabbed a hold of him. It is the presence of Jesus that gives you your sense of safety and security that you're longing for today. Nothing might change on the outside circumstances in your life, but the minute you live in awareness of Jesus, taking your eyes off of the circumstances and fixing them on the truth of who he is, you're safe. Now listen to me. The storm always reveals who we are and what we think about Jesus. So question for you. What do you think about Jesus today? Is he God's son, your safety, your presence, your place of security? Or do you still need to meet him? Do you still need to know him? Do you still need to surrender your life to him? And maybe you're in the boat watching the waves and the winds and you're afraid. May I remind you that Jesus is coming, that he's closer than you think, and he's bidding you to come to him on the water. You take that first step of faith. Don't look back. Philippians 4, I started by saying that. Oh, I know, I've jotted down here and I'm going to wrap up with this. We're talking about 10 areas I need help with, how to overcome worry. I thought some very practical things for you. I love writing things down, okay? Because you can take all this. This is a very inspirational thing. But practically speaking, what can you do to overcome worry? Write down your thoughts. So what is it that you're worried about? And so you might sit down and write down, it's a work situation. Write it down. There's something that happens when you look at it and feel it and touch it and see it. You know, I like writing things down. So get a journal and write it down. Specify what it is that you're worried about. And then take it a step deeper and identify the true source of worry. Usually it's not my job situation that I'm worried about. It's that I'm worried about that I would get fired, that I would not have income, that my kids would start. You know, walk through it. What is at the heart of your worry? You're not worried about whether you cook a good meal for your husband. You're worried about the fact that your husband, you are worried maybe that your husband doesn't love you. And you're worried maybe that he's maybe having, you know, his interests elsewhere. I mean, there's always, and I'm not saying he is, I'm just saying, what is the true source of your worry? what is it? And so write down first the practical worry, and then what is the true source of your worry, and then talk to God about it. So I think of it as the what, the why, and the who. The what is it that I'm worried about? The why am I worried about it? Let me take it a step deeper. And then the who is talk to him about it. Like, who are you talking to about? Are you just venting to your friends? Are you just, you know, letting it simmer in your brain? Or are you praying it out to God and saying, God, just like Peter did, I'm sinking and I need you to help me. And I'm telling you, you do those practical things, and I believe with all my heart that the peace of God is going to give you, to cover you, like he says in Philippians 4. Now I messed up the verse. I'm sorry. Let me just read quick. I'm going to cut it out. You know, sometimes you want to say a verse and you can't say it in the middle. You got to say it from the beginning. And so I just got to go there now because I got to finish this thought. And it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, that is where I want to live. Isn't it where you want to live? So if you need prayer, remember, I am here. I would love to pray for you. Email me, lena@livingwithpower.org. I'm sorry this one went a little bit longer, but I could talk about this forever. And so I'll see you next week, and praying that you find victory over worry even today. Bye.